Marathon, trumpeted by the Athenians as the greatest victory of all time, was regarded by the King of Kings in an understandably different light. Persian propagandists dismissed the battle as a minor border skirmish. On Athens, the death sentence still stood. But not on Athens alone. The sin committed by the Spartans in murdering the great king's ambassadors had been neither forgotten nor forgiven, and Darius, reformulating his Western strategy in the aftermath of Marathon, was now resolved that Sparta as well as Athens should be destroyed. Darius's plans for conquest couldn't easily be hurried. Whereas Datis's expedition had been little more than a glorified razzia, the full-scale pacification of a land as remote and mountainous as Greece was a challenge of a wholly different order of complexity. Then, in June 486 BC, 3 years after Darius had first given orders for the mobilization of his empire, the Egyptians, oppressed by their master's ceaseless demands for grain and levies, rose in sudden revolt. From Athens, the gaze of the great king swung abruptly southwards. A task force that had imagined Athens its target was duly ordered to prepare itself instead for an assault on the land of the Nile. The King of Kings readied himself to ride in person at its head. At court, everyone could recognize this as a potentially fateful moment. Darius had embarked on many expeditions before, but he was no longer, at the age of 65, a young man. Rumors of his frailty were rife, and Darius had bred any number of ambitious sons. Raised to be very tough indeed, from the age of 5, a Persian prince would find himself subject to a curriculum quite as exacting as the Spartan. Woken before dawn by the blaring of a brass trumpet, a young prince would start his day with a brisk 5-mile run before embarking on a grueling round of lessons, voice training, weapons practice, and immersions in icy rapids. To teach him the art of leadership, he would be given the command of a company of 50 other boys. To teach him a properly regal facility with the lance and the bow, he would go hunting with his father. To teach him the principles of justice, of the glories of Persian history, and of devotion to Ahura Mazda, he would receive instruction from the Magi. His inheritance, after all, would be nothing less than the mastery of the world. Darius had decided who his successor should be years previously. One son in particular shone out from the crowd. Xerxes had long been the great king's heir apparent. His mother was the imperious Atessa, the best-connected woman in the kingdom, widow of both Cambyses and Bardia, and daughter of Cyrus the Great. Product of the most exclusive education in the world, Xerxes, tall and handsome, also looked a king. This was a crucial consideration. The Persians were a people so obsessed by physical appearance that every nobleman kept a makeup artist in his train. The must-have fashion item was a pair of platform heels, and false beards and moustaches were so valued that the exchequer ranked them as taxable items.